You're listening to All Our Yesterdays with George and Denise. Today we have a very special guest, Mr. Paul Carrick. Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. And yourself?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
My first question, Paul, I came across you, 1975, with the band Ace and How Long, and that still remains one of my favourite tracks. What got you into the business? What propelled you into the world of rock?
Fear of work, my mum used to say, actually. Fear of having a proper job.
Really?
I was playing in bands already when I was at school, semi-pro bands, pretty rubbish ones. I didn't really get on great at school. I wasn't very academically minded. I wasn't very good at most things, actually. I liked sport and I liked music. It was my ambition to leave school at 16 and to somehow or other get out on the road playing in a band. And that's about as far as my ambition went at that time.
I have to say, in fairness, that you've been very successful at not doing a job, really, as your mum would say it. So I guess you're recognised as one of the hardest working musicians in the business. I suppose through the years contributing to various groups other than Ace, it was Roxy Music, Squeeze. You tied up with Timothy B. Schmidt and Don Felder from the Eagles, and the single you wrote together was the most played on air in 1995, I believe, in the US.
Well, I think you're talking about a song called Love Will Keep Us Alive.
Yes.
It was actually written by two other English guys, Peter Vale and Jim Capaldi. And,
I remember myself. Jim Capaldi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim was the drummer with The Traffic.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was, indeed.
Okay.
And but it was at a time when I was working with Timothy B. Schmidt and Don Felder from the Eagles. This was before the Eagles reformed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were keen to do something. And they invited me over to California to be with them for the summer, and we wrote a number of songs and made some recordings, which all sounded very promising. But then I think the Eagles were tempted by vast sums of money to get back together again, and that kind of put the kibosh on that product, project. But the one good thing that came out of it was that when the Eagles reformed, they recorded that song, Love Will Keep Us Alive. And it was a very big hit in a lot of places. So it was all good, all good. I remained in contact with Timothy and the Eagles. But it was a really interesting time.
So that project's not seen the light of day? Any chance it might?
I doubt it very much. I mean, we did a number of recordings. Don Felder, he was the original guitar, well, he was the guitar player in the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little studio that we made a lot of recordings, and it all sounded pretty good, but as I said, I think it's unlikely now that that's ever going to see the light of day.
Well, it would have been interesting to have listened to it. My next question is, with all of the bands that you've been associated with, the sessions music that you've done, and I think it's 17 solo albums now?
Could be. I don't really, honestly don't know. I'm not keeping count. I'm just kind of, I'm just about to complete another. I guess that'll be the 18th then. But to me, it's always almost like in the first one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really keep trying to better myself and finally do that album that I think is in me.
Okay. So my question would be, with all of that music you've been involved with, that you've sung, you've written and recorded, what would you say would be your favourite track of all time?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like you said, I've done quite a lot of tracks over the years, and some probably not that well known on all those albums you reckon I've made, but you know, I still love How Long. It was one of the first songs I wrote, you know, and it was the first time I sang on record, because up until that point I'd always just been, you know, a keyboard player.
Yeah.
But I sang lead on that song, and that was the first kind of taste of success, and it's a song that I still enjoy singing. You know, I do it every gig, obviously, and I still enjoy it. So I'll go with How Long.
Okay. Well, Denise and myself on our afternoon show have reintroduced the local population to the Paul Carrack back catalogue, because I feel that you should. One quick question I know Denise would ask is, our daughter has been a huge fan, because we are as well, and she nicknamed you the man with the hat.
Okay.
Hats play a big part in your life?
Well, yes. Funnily enough, I had one come through the post today. But I think all that with the hat all started... I'm surprised, actually, because you never mentioned Mike and the Mechanics, and of course... I was one of the founder members of Mike and the Mechanics. I've been one of the original singers. I'm not involved with the band anymore. But I was always a bit self-conscious because, you know, I was going thin on top.
As we all.
It didn't seem back in the sort of 80s and 90s. It wasn't as acceptable, I don't think, to be baldy as it is now in a rock band, you know.
Right.
So it was funny because we went down to South Africa and somebody gave me one of these little hats and I started wearing that and I thought, oh, fantastic. Suddenly I've got a little bit of a look, you know, an image. So I stuck with that for a while, but then I've moved on now into all kinds of basically trilbies, I suppose. I mean, I've got loads and loads of hats. I've got to get rid of some of them before long. They're getting beyond a joke.
I'm sure you've got a special room for all of your hats in the house, have you?
Well, they're taking up a lot of space in one of the bedrooms.
Oh, bless. No, I didn't mention Mike and Mechanics. I should have done as well.
No.
But there is just so much work that you've done. And I know when we spoke, when we're setting this up, you were in the studio putting the final bits together for the current album. Is that all done now?
I'm still putting the final bits together for this album. We're at the mixing stage now.
Okay.
So I've pretty much done all the recording I'm going to do. It's in the mix process, which is a very important process.
Of course.
It's not one I'm very confident with. So it gets a bit technical. So I have the help of a guy called Martin Levan is mixing this, and he knows what he's doing, which I love the recording aspects of it, but it gets to that crucial stage and gets a little bit technical, and I kind of stay out of that until they ask me what I reckon.
Okay, so when can us fans expect that album to be released? Is it still on schedule for July?
It keeps moving. It may well be July. I'd like it to come out in July, because when you make an album, you want to get it out there as soon as possible, you know. But there's a possibility it might get put back. It depends on all kinds of things. The main thing is that when it does come out, it's, you know, as good as we think it should be. So that's the plan.
Okay, thank you. You're appearing at the concert of the Kings, which is Rock Against Cancer, on the 26th of May. Is that a cause that's close to your heart?
Well, it is, for various reasons. But it's also, you know, the fact we've been invited this year is because one of the organisers, a guy called John Callis, he's been trying to get us to do it for a few years now, and it hasn't been possible. But I knew John in my days with Mike and the Mechanics, back in the days. He was the monitor engineer, which is the sound on stage. He started putting this concert together now, and I gather it's been a brilliant success. Very happy to be involved.
I think this is the 8th year of this. I think the other co-founder was founder member of The Suite, and his name for the life of Andy Scott. That was it. Sorry. It was one of the other co-founders. Yeah. Apparently they were both survivors of cancer and decided to put this out there. What sort of a band have you got together for the Concert of the Kings?
Well, it's the band that I've had now for most of the members for the best part of 20 years, because that's been my bread and butter, has been touring as a solo artist now.
Of course,
and I've kind of established myself much more now as that. So what are we? I think we're seven pieces. including my son Jack, who's one of the drummers. We have two drummers in the band. Fantastic sax player Stevie Baton. Yeah, 7-piece band. We make a fair old racket on stage, and yeah.
Well, then my next question is as a paying member of the public going along to the concert, what can they expect to hear from you on the actual day? Yeah.
Well, we haven't totally nailed down the set list because we've just finished a concert tour, which was fantastic. But that's like a 2-hour set we do, and we do all kinds of stuff. We do old things, and you know, we've also got a lot of current stuff from solo albums. But you know, we're mindful that not everybody's come to see us. You know, there's some other great bands on there,
of course.
And so we're not exactly preaching to the converted. So I think it'll be a kind of 60-minute set is what we've been asked to do.
Okay,
we try and keep it nice and upbeat and include the better known songs in it. You know, I mean, things like How Long, Over My Shoulder, Living Years, Tempted, which I did with Squeeze, some of the solo bits and bobs. But, you know, as I say, we try and keep it as familiar as possible.
Yes.
We want people to enjoy it and get involved and do the singing along bit and all that. So that's what we're looking forward to.
So it's audience participation is required on the day then?
Well, it's helpful.
Yes,
it's very reassuring, you know, when they get involved.
No. As I said, you know, those are all of the questions I have to ask you, and I thank you very much indeed. You've been absolutely wonderful.
All right, mate.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye.
Yes, bye.